We are going through the book of 1 Peter here in our regular study, but I want to invite you to a different book in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read verse 6 and 7 this morning. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. And I just want to share something that is in my heart. It's been in my heart for a few weeks. It says here in verse 6, Paul writing to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Look at the verse 7 again. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. How many of you are afraid at times? How many of you have felt fear? You know, I am a very fearful person by nature, always been, but God has been good to me in many, many ways. But in the last, in the last few months or a couple of years, I've had many reasons to be more fearful than normal, and different things going on in life and more responsibilities and challenges. And I guess the more you realize, how difficult it is to really fulfill the call of God in your life, and you start experiencing challenges in your life, and you notice that it's not easy, the fearful you tend to become in your own nature, in your own flesh. Now, about a month ago, maybe a little more than that, my wife and my kids left for a week and a half. And I was like, praise God, I'm going to be sleeping good, longer nights, I'm going to sleep. And it's funny because everything that's going on around the house, I can sense it. And I'm like, well, this is weird. I finally have the freedom to rest a little more. And I'm waking up every moment and it's raining and it's a little windy and maybe a chipmunk is outside making noise. I'm like, come on, Lord, I want to go to sleep. But one night I went to sleep. I prayed. I listened to some worship and I said, Lord, I want to rest. And I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I don't know what time, I was having a bad dream. Terrible dream. It was just an ugly nightmare. And I woke up very, very scared. And the nature of the dream, I have no idea what it was. I remember that it was something related to life here in Earth, on this place where I am. But I was so scared. And right at the moment I woke up, I started just thinking about the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, what's this about? What's going on? And I was so scared. And at the moment I woke up also, I had this fear presence close to me. And it's hard for me to explain it. Like something was close to my face and just pushing me down in the bed. But I was, praise God, I was quoting Jesus and I was praying in my spirit, in my mind. I was not loud, but I was praying and I was asking God for direction. And this is probably half a second while I'm praying and just thinking and reflecting on what's going on. My mind is going fast. I'm kind of shaking and my heart is beating. And I'm like, what is going on? And then out of the blue, this verse comes to my mind. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And as soon as the verse came into my heart, I knew that God was leading me. So I started quoting the verse in Spanish. I know the verse in Spanish. So I started quoting the verse in my mind, and then I got a little louder, and I probably quoted this verse 3 or 4 times. And then I just had peace right there. All together, like probably 20 seconds altogether. And it was a very intense and fearful thing, but it was also a powerful moment in my life. And I just kind of laid there, and I felt that there was no presence anymore. There was no fear. And I just say, Lord, I want to go back to sleep, Lord. I need to go back to sleep. And I went back to sleep. And in the morning, I woke up and I thought, oh, I had a bad dream last night. But I had no idea what it was. And still today, I don't think too much about it. I don't want to remember. But I don't know what I dreamt. I don't know what I was dreaming. I don't remember. But I remember the verse and the presence of God in my life that night. I want to share this because all of us, in some point in time in our life, are going to encounter fear. We will face fear in many ways. We are fearful of the future. What's going to happen, what's going to happen in America? What's going to happen in our lives? What's going to happen in our county with the economy? Whatever, our family, our kids, are they going to go on and follow the Lord? Are they going to return to the Lord for that matter? Lord, what's going on in this world? And we are fearful. We are fearful of failure, to do something and to fail when we do it, to start something and not finishing it. We are fearful of being real with other people and letting them see who we are and what we struggle with and being vulnerable to people. We are very fearful of those things. We're fearful of physical sickness, you know. What if I get sick? What if I can't work any longer? We are fearful of age. I mean, I'm getting up in age, you might be saying, and I don't know what's going to be here in the next 20 years. And that's reality, you know. Doug and I were in a meeting here recently, and we were answering some questions, and he asked me what I wrote in my paper, and he's kind of been, he wants to know what I wrote in my paper. You know, I said, what did you write on your paper? He says, well, I wrote that I was something related to letting go. He says, there are things that I can't do any longer, and I have to let go of those things, and I have to understand somebody else may be behind me doing what I can't do any longer. You know, you are fearful of growing up and facing life in many different ways. We're fearful of sharing what we believe with others and being rejected. You know, when we are in meetings, maybe at work, and people are saying things or questioning life or talking about politics or life, the purpose of life, we're fearful of opening up our heart and saying, you know, this is what I believe. And this is what the Bible says. I'm a Christian. We're fearful of being rejected by people, fearful of lovingly confronting people that is struggling with something or living in sin. We are fearful of saying, Lord, why? I mean, how can I go and tell these people that he's doing something wrong here? We're fearful of not knowing what we're supposed to do or knowing and looking stupid in front of other people. So we rather kind of stay quiet and act like we understand what's going on, but we look for an opportunity to say, what was he talking about? You know, what was that all about? Because we are fearful of asking questions sometimes in front of people. And you know, one of the things that I find in my own life is the fear of committing for something that God is asking you to do. That's a big one. You know, when God says, when you know in your heart that God is calling you to do something, to get involved, to call somebody, to make a relationship with someone, a friendship, to maybe take more responsibility in your life, maybe be the husband or the father that God is calling you to be, fearful of committing to do better, to walk with God, to taking that responsibility because you think, well, someone else can do it better than me. Someone else is maybe out there and is going to pick it up. But you know, that fear, we need to confront fear. We need to move in the midst of fear. And God has given us, according to this passage, grace to overcome fear. Amen? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And according to this verse, we have it in us and we need to grow. Now, Paul is actually also encouraging Timothy to stir it up in his heart. He's saying, put into fan the flame of the gift of God that is already in you. And, you know, nothing happens, I'm convinced of this, nothing really happens in a church, in a community, for that matter, in a nation, you know, without God really moving through the power of the Spirit. Steering the hearts, steering the nations. I mean, you look at the Old Testament and we see prophecies fulfilled before our eyes. He was going to stir up the hearts of the Jews, whatever they were, and bring them to one and then move them to Israel and establish a nation out of nothing. And God is doing those things. But, you know, the Spirit of God needs to be moving. You know, fear, what is fear? Fear is a reaction of our constant opposition. Anytime God calls us to do something, anytime we know what we're supposed to do and we want to act on it, we will face opposition. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. I mean, our battle is not of this world. We're battling something that we cannot see. We can't really grasp it sometimes, you know. I mean, you have a presence of fear close to you. You get afraid all of a sudden. You get trembling in some ways, and you start wondering what's going on. And if you don't understand the supernatural arena, you know, you try to make logic of things, and you won't be able to. Because there is a spiritual realm. Are you aware of this? There is powers that move. You know, I'm convinced the Bible says that angels come to church and they long to see what's going on according to the gospel. But also, you know, Satan sometimes comes to church and sits down in the pews. The demons come and they want to look and they want to pull people away. But praise God for his presence, you know. Praise God for His Spirit. When His Spirit is moving, you know, the power of darkness and Satan is unable to do anything in our hearts and in our lives. So we got to depend on the power of the Lord. Now, not only we have an attack of the enemy, but the Bible says that in this world we will have tribulation, problems, afflictions, different things coming to us. And Christ said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." We need to overcome. We are called to overcome, to fight, to move forward. You know, don't sit down and say, well, this is the way it's going to be, so I'm just going to give up. You have the power in you to start praying, to start asking God, and to even quote verses if you have them there, but most of anything to be led by the Spirit. Matthew 26, Jesus says in verse 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our flesh is weak. And our fears, you know, that fear is in our flesh, in our nature. So we have to stand up and we have to fight. And as long as we're in this body, in this world, in these circumstances that we are, you know, we will have opposition. And we need to be on guard. We need to overcome. We need to deny ourselves and do what God is calling us to do. Wouldn't you love to be able to confront fears every time they come to your life? God is giving us that power. Sometimes we fear even for the past. We are afraid, we are sad about the things that went on in the past, and we say, I'm going to do the same mistakes again. Remember, you have to stand up in Christ. And as we make an effort to follow the Lord, we will experience many forms of opposition in our Christian walk. And every time we face difficult circumstances, we will have the option to react with fear, in the midst of fear, to react with fear and either trust God that we are able to overcome, or have fear and make decisions based on fear. I don't think it's possible to live without any fear. I mean, sometimes you are going to encounter yourself in fear. If somebody tells you, you need to be positive and don't think about fear and it will never come to you, they're lying to you, okay? It's a lie. I used to think if I'm positive and if I don't think about fear and if I stay focused, I'm not going to... No. Fear is a reality. But in the midst of fear, you either choose to trust God and move forward, or you make decisions based on fear. And when you do that, you will encounter more trouble, more problems, more difficulty. Fear actually is the opposition of faith in the Bible. And faith pleases God. God is pleased when we have faith, when we trust in Him and believe in Him. Faith in God is trusting in His supernatural grace given to His children for His purpose in our lives. That's what faith is. Now, if you look at the Bible is a story of faith. Many stories of faith. Yesterday morning I woke up and I started writing some things in a piece of paper, and I thought, the Bible is a story of people that trusted in God and overcame fear. I mean, think about this. Noah had to face the fear of building an ark where there was no rain, ever. I mean, we do VBS here, and every 4 years we come to this same lesson about in VBS about Noah and everything he did. And we sing, Noah, oh, what you gonna, where you gonna go in the middle of the desert with the giant boat? And you know, you listen to that little line and you think, that's what people thought. They thought, what is this fool doing? I mean, he's building a big boat here in the middle of the desert. Hey, Noah, how's it going out there? Is it gonna rain soon? Are you gonna sail out in the sea? I mean, how are you gonna move this thing from here all the way to the sea? But you know, he faced his fears. He went forward. Abraham had to leave his land and family to receive what he had been promised by God. God told him, leave your family, leave the place in which you live, and I will give you a new land, a promise to inherit. He had to move. And he had to convince his wife, and he had to bring everything he had over there. Jacob had to face Esau when he lived for 20 years with Laban, his father-in-law, and things weren't going well over there. And he said, you know, I need freedom. My father-in-law is changing the salary to me all the time. This is a problem. But you know, he had to face Esau. And he had to have faith to do that. And he started moving in that direction because God pushed him to face his fears. Joseph had to forgive his brothers and face the fear of not being able to do that. If he wanted freedom from what he had in his heart after they hurt him bad, and if he wanted his family to come to Egypt and enjoy all the blessings that God had given him. In fact, Joseph's brother had to face the fear of, what if Joseph killed us? What if he doesn't forgive us? Go back again, Jacob said, and ask for more food. Well, that he told us clearly that if we go back, we are to take Benjamin. But really, they didn't want to go. They were so scared, you know. They were so scared. And Moses had to quit hiding in Midian and face Pharaoh if he wanted freedom for the people of Israel. He had to face that fear of going back to Egypt. And Joshua had to face his fear and go to battle. And God says, you will conquer. But yes, you have to go to battle. And you have to face these kings and these nations. And you have to get ready with an army and everything else. And Hannah, think about Hannah. Hannah had to take her little boy to the temple and leave him there when he was maybe 4 or 5 years old. He had promised to give him back. She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will offer him to you. And think about taking him over there and saying, well, what if something happens to him? What if God doesn't give me any more children? She promised. And she had to face that fear. Think about Esther when she went and faced the king and she knew that she could be killed that moment right there for stepping into a place where she didn't supposed to for 30 days. But you know, there was trouble and her people needed freedom and everybody was fasting and praying for her and she had to face that fear. No one else could do that but her, and she faced her fear. The blind beggar had to cry out to Jesus for mercy if he wanted healing, even when they had told him to stop. Don't be yelling. Don't be asking the master to stop. But he cried out aloud and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I need you. And you know, it doesn't matter what these people tell me. I need healing right now. I need my sight. And the paralytic friends, you know, they had to face the fear of opening the roof of a house to bring him down for Jesus to heal him. I mean, what's going to happen here? What if Jesus says, what are you doing? Is this your love? Don't get away from here. I'm not going to do anything to you. But they faced the fear and they opened a hole in the roof. They took the tiles off and they sent the friend down. They faced their fear. Jesus had to face fear. At the moment of the cross, remember, he said, Lord, is there any other way? I don't want to do this. But Lord, if this is your will, I will. And he faced that fear. And on, Ananias, you know, in the book of Acts, when God told him, Ananias, go to Damascus to such place because there's a man there called Saul of Tarsus. And he's seen in a vision that you go and pray for him. And Ananias said, you know, God, I do something else, but I don't want to go with this guy. I know the guy. He's a killer of Christians. He's coming here to arrest people. Well, you are to go and pray for that man. And he went and he says, Brother Saul, Jesus has sent me to pray for you because he's chosen you to spread the gospel. He called him brother and he faced the fear. So we need to learn to overcome our fears. And when we act based on fear, we will waste everything we have and still find ourselves defeated and challenged in the same set of circumstances we had before we acted. Look at a story of a man who was fearful for a moment and then he realized he needed to stand up. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18, the story of Hezekiah is there. Hezekiah is a king and he was a righteous king. He did a lot of reforms and he was following the Lord. And in the time of Hezekiah, the northern part of Israel, the 10 tribes were actually defeated and captivated by Assyria. And Judah was left, and then a few years or months later, it says in verse 13 here, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Now, this kingdom, the kingdom of Assyria, was ruthless and they were taking everything ahead of them. And they had conquered Israel, the northern part of it. But now they came to Judah and they took some of the cities. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. He was fearful. He was fearful. He said, you know, I don't want to fight. He didn't pray. He didn't ask God for direction. He was fearful and he acted on that fear. So he said, I'll do whatever you want. And the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorpost that Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. So everything he had done in the house of the Lord, he stripped it off. He gathered all the goods that he had in his house and he gave it to this guy. And he was thinking, he's going to get away from me. And then it says right there in verse 17, and the king of Assyria sent to the Tartan and the Rapsaris and the Rapshak with the great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they came and stood up by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway to the washer field. And when they called for the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Sevna, the secretary, and Johad, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And they found themselves in the midst of opposition again. But he had wasted. He had sent all this money. And you know, after this, Hezekiah asked for direction. He went and asked Isaiah the prophet to pray for him. And God actually delivered Hezekiah and the people of Judah. And you know, these guys, they didn't even fight there. Their general went back to the place and he was killed over there. And the angel of the Lord came and he destroyed all the army of Assyria and killed 186,000 men over there in the field. Before Hezekiah even went out, because he trusted in the Lord. But see, he should have done that in the beginning and faced the fear. And we need to do that. We need to do that. I want to invite you to a story here of a guy who actually did that right away. In 2 Chronicles, it's actually back in story, but it's farther in your Bible. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know this story, the story of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was also a good king, a righteous king, and he had reigned in Judah for some years already, and he was serving God. And in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, and look at this, after this. So after some of the initial things that he had done, I want you to go back with me to chapter 17 for a moment and just look at the story of the background here. In verse 3 it says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He didn't seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. And his heart was a courageous heart, courageous in the ways of the Lord. And furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. So he was a strong king. In fact, he was courageous. He was a courageous man. And God had established him over there. In verse 7, it says, in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Benahil, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah, and with them the Levites and all these guys, and they were teaching the law of the Lord. And in verse 9 it says, and they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And look in verse 10, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that they were around Judah. And they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So God was protecting Jehoshaphat. Amen? And he was a courageous man. But you know, God will protect us. And at times he will let us experience difficulties and opposition and temptation. Because he wants us to grow and to face our fears. So if we go forward to chapter 20, verse 1 again. It says that after these things, all the things that Jehoshaphat had built and his establishment and prosperity, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. At that very moment, he got scared and he started thinking, what is going on here? And that was just normal. Now, how he would react there will change the outcome and the result of his life and the kingdom and everything that was going on. And I think it's a beautiful picture of how we are to react when we are afraid. Jehoshaphat was not a perfect king, but we saw that he sought the Lord and he was blessed by God in many ways. And he was a courageous man, but he experienced opposition at some point in time. And in the midst of this opposition, he was fearful. He was afraid. He was wondering what's going to happen. So that's the way we are In Christianity, we will face fears. And how long we stay in that fear, or how we react in the midst of fear, how we respond to it, shows our faith in God and how much we operate under the power, actually, of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the New Testament, there's another man, another giant. And I want you to see that for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to come back to 2 Chronicles 20. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how Paul, in some moments of his life, he was experiencing a lot of fear. But he operated under the power of the Spirit, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. It says here, I, when I came to you, Paul writing, brothers, verse 1, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In fact, I used to think that if you are afraid, God will not be able to use you. But let me tell you, in the midst of fear, if you trust God, He will use you. He will use you. And I used to think, you know, these giants of the faith, you know, Paul and Timothy and Peter and all these guys, they were so bold and they never were scared. But, you know, you look at this and they were fearful. In fact, look at the writing here. He's weak, he's in fear, and he's in much trembling. This is not the usual vision that you have, a visual that you have of Paul, is it? I mean, look at this apostle, and he says, but when I was there with fear and trembling, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, we think God is going to do something through me if I look strong and if I stand up and make everybody think that I am very, very powerful, that I am bold. And you know, very often I look at this and this is me. Let me give you a little bit of a window of what happens in my heart on Sundays when I'm getting ready to share. You know, I'm there and the worship is going on. Great worship. Praise God. You know, I got up really early today praying and asking God for direction. And I make sure that I sense the presence of God in my life, that I'm just trusting in Him. But I come here and the closer it gets to the message, the seems like the more fearful I am. And you know, this is what I do. I say, God, I don't have it. I know that. I know that. I need your grace. And I'm going to go and stand up over there and I can make a fool of myself and just make a mess of this writing and everything. And without needing to do that, because your word has authority and I don't have to fix anything because it's already here. But God, will you give me strength to stand up and do what you're calling me to do? And you know, that's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what Paul does here. In fact, he says, I was under the demonstration of the Spirit and of power so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of Paul, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you need to realize, if anything good is happening on a Sunday morning through a message or worship or the time of prayer, it's because of God. Amen? There's nothing good in us. There's no strength in us. There's no power in us of our own. In fact, we're so fearful. And sometimes we wonder if there's someone else who wants to do it, you know. We say, we have a guest speaker today, you know, if someone is coming. But, you know, you have to learn to trust God. And you have to learn to go forward in the midst of fear. Now, look at Jehoshaphat. Go back to 2 Chronicles 20. And let's look at how he, in the midst of fear, he did something amazing. I just want to read verse, I forgot how far we were. So let's pick it up in verse 5 now. Verse 3 again. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. The first thing he does is he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, we can't skip the prayer. Let's read it. It's so amazing here. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you will not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. He prayed. And you know what I think here? The first thing that I see is how there are several things, but Jehoshaphat, in the midst of fear, he humbled himself right away. He realized, I don't have it. Now, back here in chapter 17, if you go from verse 12 all the way to verse 19, in that chapter, Jehoshaphat had about 1,160,000 men ready to battle. But although he had this army, he didn't rely on his army. He actually humbled himself. That's the first thing he did. And then he also prayed to God. Right away he prayed to God. And then seek for help within the people, within the nation. You know, everybody come and pray and fast. And he acknowledged his need in a public way, in a vulnerable way he did it. And I think those things, those four or five things that I mentioned, what that does in the person that is afraid is position us right under the Spirit of God, under the power of God. So there are three things here that I want to mention this morning. Three things. First of all, Jehoshaphat, you know, positioned himself under the power of God. Second, he positioned himself under the protection of God's love. And third, he positioned himself under the direction to be self-controlled by God. And that's what we read in 2 Timothy 1:7. Remember the verse? God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Now, the Spirit of God is not fear, but we are in fear. When we are going through difficult circumstances, we are in fear because it's of our nature, it's of the circumstances in the world, and it's of Satan. Now, when we're there, we need to position ourselves right under the power of God, first of all. And this is what he did. Because if he's going to overcome anything, it's only under the strength of the power of God. And he knew that God was sovereign. He knew that God was in full control of everything. And he knew that I don't have a chance with my army, but I do have a chance if I go to God. I do have a chance. So look at this in verse 13. Meanwhile, while he was praying, you know, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. And look at the power of God right away. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Hiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Because God saw what Jehoshaphat was doing and how he set himself under the direction of the Lord, under the power of the Lord right there, the Holy Spirit came and spoke through one of the men right there. And he said, "Listen, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Wow. Now, do we do that? Very often we try everything else, and then God is our last option. But that's okay. The sooner we come to the Lord, the sooner we ask God, the sooner we humble ourselves, the sooner we say, "Lord, I don't have it. I don't know what to do. I'm praying here because I need your help." The sooner we do that, the sooner we will see God moving in our lives. And we need to have that faith. You know, anything that happened in the Bible and in history of Christianity is because of the power of God. You know, we tend to become religious, we tend to become intellectual, we tend to be pharisaical in the way we follow the Lord, we tend to think we have something and be prideful and all that. But you know, when we humble ourselves and when we trust and depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, there is growth right there. There is growth, you know. In marriage, there is growth. As parenting goes, you know, when we do it in our own strength, we think we got it and we don't see results. But as soon as we humble ourselves and we position ourselves under the power of God, something will happen. Do you believe that in your life? And you need to know that. You need to learn that, because now that morning, that middle of the night when I was in the middle of this dream, you know, I want to tell you, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't saying, how do I do this? But one thing I was very scared. And I knew that the only option was Christ. Maybe because I've done it so much, maybe because of the grace of God or both. I started quoting Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus. But then God, the Spirit of God, put a scripture. Because He's the reminder of all truth. Amen? He is a reminder of all truth. And He is the one who gives freedom. Amen? There's no freedom without the Holy Spirit. In fact, when we look at the Bible, in Acts 1:7, it says, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see all these group of guys, fearful, denying Jesus, going back to fish. They don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus says, wait for the promise of the Spirit. They wait for the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit comes upon them. And then you see Peter, you know, boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they laugh and mock and say, why are these people speaking in tongues? Peter says, let me tell you, this is the word of God. And when they are being persecuted and put into prison, in jail, and they are beating them up, they feel honored to be there. And you want to tell me it's just because they're bold? No, they're not. It's because of the Spirit of God in their lives. And I want to be that. If anything, I want to do that, to be under the strength of the power of God. Jehoshaphat received an answer, and it was not an intellectual answer. It was an answer directly from the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we need. You think we need the Spirit of God to move in America? I mean, yes, we need to read the Bible in schools. And we need to have regulations against abortion. And we need to fight for marriages in a political way many times. But let me tell you, nothing will happen if the Spirit of God is not moving. Nothing. That's the reality. And you know, that's a humbling thing because we don't want to realize that it is only God who's going to do it. See, when I have a battle, I need to realize that the battle has to be won in secret. That's what the Bible says. If you seek Him in secret, He will reward you in public. And in secret, you find the strength and the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. And so, what a beautiful picture. In fact, the Bible says that we are commanded to constantly be filled with the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me invite you to Ephesians 3, verse 14. And I want you to see, not only we're commanded, but we are able to access the Spirit in our lives and to steer the Spirit of God in us as we seek Him, as we pray for this. In verse 14, this is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Paul is writing, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Why is Paul praying? Look at this in verse 16. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Look at this. He's praying that we may be strengthened. And it is granted to us by grace. But we are strengthened with power, through the Spirit, in our inner being. So if you are afraid, let me tell you what the best way to battle fear in your life is. Having the inner strength of the Spirit in your life. That will make you powerful. That's what he's saying right there. That's what we read. And you know, we want to be strong. We want to be powerful. We want to be bold. We want to do something for the Lord. We need to pray that He will grant us that strength through His Spirit in our lives. Lord, make me strong. And not to just be pushing people, but to do what you're calling me to do. To commit myself to what you're asking me to do. So that's the first thing Jehoshaphat did. Now, second thing he did, he positioned, in the midst of fear, he positioned himself under the protection of God's love. And that's the big one. It's a big challenge to know that God loves us as He says. And to believe it. And to trust in that. But let's go back to 2 Chronicles here, chapter 20. And look at the rest of the story here. It says, let's just read verse 15 again. He said, the prophet said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are fearful. And don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. How many of you want God to defend you, to protect you, to speak for you? I mean, if God is for you, who could be against you? There are times when you just got to realize God loves me and He is for me and He wants me to be successful in His ways. And if I'm going to overcome anything, it's going to be under the protection of His love. And let me tell you, the biggest need of humanity is love. It's the love of God. That's it. And really, we are made to be loved. Even in this world, you know, we will not grow. We will not accomplish much if we don't understand the love of God. But also, if we don't experience love from other people. We need love. And God says, I love you. I love you. Let me invite you to Romans chapter 5. I was just thinking of this passage. And this is an amazing passage. This is amazing how the love of God is giving us everything that we need. Everything that we will use in life. 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we got to realize because of Christ and what He did in the cross, we are at peace with the Father. We are. We don't have to do much. We don't have to do anything. We just have to come to Him. We are at peace. There's a relationship with God because of what Christ did in the cross. And very often we feel that we have to work for this relationship. I have to do so many things in order to engage with God in relationship. No. You just have to believe it and trust it and come to Him. Now it says, through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. It's through Jesus that we have access to this grace, and we stand in the grace and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Whatever you are at peace with God, you are standing in His grace, and you have the ability to rejoice in God, not only in the hope that is to come, but also rejoice in the sufferings and saying, you know what? I see that there are troubles here and problems, and believe me, there are problems going on. You gotta realize that. There are people shooting themselves, killing themselves in life. Amen? And many of them, they claim to have faith because sometimes the love of God is not a reality in us as it's supposed to be. But see, in the middle of suffering, I understand that God loves me and everything is going to be okay. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. But if I had a bottle of water and open it up and grab another one, and try to put more water in there, it will overflow. And there's no room for more water in that bottle. Think about this. The love of God is being poured in our hearts. And very often I don't see myself like that. I feel like I have to be fighting for God to protect me. Like I have to be doing and saying the right things. But God loves me. Off the bat, God loves me. And He says here, for while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one will dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in the hole, when we were unlovable, and we still are very often, when we had no hope, in fact, we were refusing to believe in God, and He had to chase us at times, He loved us there. We were sinners and Christ died for us. Look in verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. If we were sinners and God justified us, now that we're in God, He's not going to hurt us. He's not going to discharge His wrath on us. And then look in verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. If when we were there in the hole, He rescued us and brought us here, how much more He will not take us from this level now to the next one. Let me explain you this. And very often I say this to my own soul, to my own mind. Samuel, remember, it took far more for you to come from where you were, the hole where you were in the past, to where you are right now in these 26 years of Christianity, than what it takes for you to be move from here to the future. Because now I believe in God and I'm in Him to some extent. You know, I've experienced the grace of God. But when I was there in the hole, I was blind to the grace of God. And you need to believe that. You need to grow in the understanding of the love of God. I believe with all my heart that as we grow in the understanding of the love of God for us, we will be able to fulfill His purpose, to stand up and believe Him, to act, to commit, and to go against the fears that come against us in marriage, in life, in Christianity. The Bible actually commands us to be rooted and grounded in love, to learn. One thing you want to do in life in Christianity is grow in your understanding of love. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 again, where we were just a few minutes ago. Look at the rest of the passage in chapter 3 of Ephesians. And I want you to see this. And this is a supernatural event, a supernatural thing. It's not intellectual. It's not if you do these things and if you realize this. No, no, no. You pray for these things. Again, Paul is praying in verse 14 and he's saying that God will grant you in verse 16 to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and that is necessary. I thought he will say rooted in faith or rooted in, but, or in knowledge. No. Rooted in and grounded in love. And you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. And he goes wild here. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So Paul is saying, you need to be strengthened in your inner being with the power of God. And once you have the power of God and you're strong in your inner being, you will be able to be grounded and rooted in the love of Christ. And then he goes into this expression that is difficult for us to, because we like to have it detailed there. But then it says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Surpasses knowledge. And then it says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. How many of you want to be filled with the fullness of God? That's to know the love of God. And whatever you're going through, whatever loss you're experiencing, whatever problem, sickness, cancer, the loss of someone that you love, whatever circumstance, you still say, you know what? I'm full of God because He loves me. And people will say, what are you talking about? But you say, I know He loves me. He's with me. That's what He's talking about. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? And that love is the love of God. And see, we will be able to overcome fear when we rest on the love of God. That's the only way to do it. You have to stand up in the love of God and say, God is with me, so I'm not afraid. And there is fear at times, but I overcome that fear. Now, as we trust God in His love, He will direct us and assure us that He is in our side. Now, last thing here. Jehoshaphat, in the moment when he prayed, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In the moment when he humbled himself, in the moment when he seek the whole nation to come together and seek for the Lord's provision, in the moment when he acknowledged his need, he positioned himself under the power of God, under the love of God, but then also under the strength of God to do and to be self-controlled. Look in verse 15, we read it. Listen, inhabitants of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. And then he says, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come upon up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, cast of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go against them. Go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and then and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe His prophets and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire as they went before the army, and said, give thanks to the Lord for His steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing, and see, they reacted with self-control. They were not shaking. They did not take decisions based on fear. I mean, they bowed down, they worshiped the Lord, they had counsel, they said, what are we going to do? Well, you know what? Since God is going to fight for us, let's just put the worshipers on front and let's sing to the Lord. And I'm sure maybe someone was a little scared and said, but what if? Shouldn't we put someone with weapons on the front? No, no, no. God is fighting for us. It's all taken care of. God is telling us, stand up. Move forward. Show up. Just show up and I will do the rest. That is what God is telling us. But so often, you know, we feel like, how can I do that? How can I stand up if I don't know what to do or what to say? God is calling us for battle. And we as Christians, we have to stop basing everything we do on fear and say, God, what do you want to do in us? We don't need more knowledge. We don't need more ability. We don't need more people. We need a demonstration of your power. And we need to see a demonstration of your love with your church. And we need to see a demonstration that we are who you told us that we are. Stand up and be firm. This is what God is telling us. And you know, I just thought, I want to encourage you with this today, because we all experience so much fear. And there's, I mean, think about this. If you weren't afraid, what would you be doing right now in regard to what God is calling you to do? Honestly. Honestly, I mean, what is God calling you to do? Make a phone call. Reach somebody for Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Be vulnerable. Be willing to be hurt again by someone else if it's necessary. Stand up. Seek for the presence and the guidance of the Lord. The Bible says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, we are little sheep, you know. We are dumb, and we are little and weak. But you know, He is the shepherd. Amen? If we are sheep, He is the shepherd. And a shepherd guides. And it says, it is your Father's pleasure. He is my Father, you know. He is the one who rescued me from the moment I was a child. And my relationship was not the greatest with my dad. But you know, my Father is God Himself. And He is pleased to give me what I need to go forward. And not only that, He's pleased to give me the kingdom. So He's also a king. So He owns everything. And He loves me because He's my Father. And He will direct me because He's the shepherd. Trust in Christ. Trust in Christ. And remember, we're called to be strong in the Lord. We're called to submit to the Lord, to resist the devil and he will flee. We are called to overcome. To the one who overcomes, he will give, he will give, he will give. Stand up and trust. Now, let me finish with this verse in 2 Timothy 1:6. We read it. For this reason, Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. You have it. Fan it into flame. Surrender yourself to the Lord. It is in you through the laying on of my hands. And say, God, bring passion to my life. Bring your Holy Spirit and direct me according to your ways. Let's bow our heads and pray to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, for your grace and your power on us, Lord. And Lord, as Pastor Doug will often say, we need to realize what we have in you and to discover more and more and more. And Lord, that's why we're here this morning, because we are willing to grow and to be challenged and to be stretched into what you want us to do. And Lord, would you reveal that power to us? Just in a very humble way, Lord, we need you. We can't go forward if it's not by your grace. Would you reveal your power in our families, in our children, Lord, that they know that you are real? Would you save, Lord, people in our midst? Would you come and encounter us with your presence, Lord? Would you speak to our hearts, Lord, and let us know how much you love us and what that means for us, Lord? In your powerful name, Jesus, we pray for these things. We thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Allow us to believe and to move forward in the midst of fear. Amen.